Judges chapter 16, and we'll begin at verse number 18. Judges 16 and verse number 18. If you're there, say amen. If you're going to look at the screen, say I'm cheating. All right. Says this, and when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. She called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the locks of his head. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. She said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. The Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him into Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. He was working for the enemy now. Howbeit the hairs of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a sacrifice unto Dagon, their God, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. Look what our God has done. That's where they went wrong. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which they slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. Call forth the entertainment. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women. And that beheld Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray, and strengthen me. I pray only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson took hold of the two pillars upon whom which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, and of the one with one of his hands on the right, other hand on the left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew of his life. I'm going to title this today, The Disclaimer of Dominion. The Disclaimer of Dominion. And I just felt, I'm usually up here shouting and dancing and spinning and sweating and doing everything that I know how to do to have church. But I just felt in this week when we were talking about dominion, power, authority, victory, I just felt the Lord put a little thought in my mind. He said, there is a disclaimer to all of this. You can have all this dominion, but there's a little clause in here that if you don't follow it, you're going to miss out on the dominion. And I want to bring a warning to this church. We could miss out on the greatest year that this church could ever experience. And it's based off this one disclaimer. So if you're going to help me preach for the next few moments, I can't do this on my own. This is all God's idea. I wanted to preach about, I'll shout about Jesus, okay? But I got to talk about the disclaimer of dominion. If you're going to help me preach one more time, can you lift your hands and lift your voices with expectation? God, we look to you right now, Jesus. We can't do anything without you, Lord. We ask, God, that you'd have liberty in this house to do what you want to do, that you would speak to your people today, that you would caution us and warn us, Lord. God, help us, Jesus, to be everything you want us to be. We don't want to miss out on what you want to do. We want to be your hands and your feet, God. We want to be the vessels and the instruments that you use. God, I pray, make us aware of what the enemy is trying to do, God. Stir us and shake us today to walk out of here with confidence, Lord, and walking in dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. You can be seated here today. Thank you, Jesus. the disclaimer of dominion. There is an old saying that says, you are born looking like your parents, but you die looking like your decisions. You're born looking like your parents, but throughout your life, when your days are all summed up, you are the fulfillment of all of your life's decisions. Now, as I'm looking at this character in the Bible by the name of Samson, this was a very great man. He had great strength. He had very great strength by the Spirit of God. And regardless of popular belief, I could look in Scripture and I can go so far as to say Samson was a smart man. You can debate me on all that, but I'll show you here today. Samson was a smart man. The problem he had, he thought he could outsmart the enemy. He was strong, he was smart, and he had a sense of humor. He was strong, he was smart, and he had a sense of humor. And Samson is the last judge of the book of Judges. There's a total of 12 judges in this book, and there is more scripture given to the life of Samson than any other judge in scripture. There's more chapters written about his life, and so that tells me that God really highlights this character by the name of Samson, and he wants us to make us privy of some things we need to take note of here today. Now, the life of Samson is very unique and rare, and it stands out from all the other judges because it was foretold that Samson was going to be born, and he was going to be rose up to have dominion and power, and he was going to have authority to conquer the Philistines. And he was foretold, and the angel of the Lord came to the mother of Samson and said, you're going to have a child, he's going to do great things, and he's going to begin to have dominion over the Philistines. And Manoah the father said, you know, I believe what you're saying, woman, but I got to hear this for myself. You're barren, and there's no way this could happen. I got to hear this and see this for myself. And so he says, Lord, please send the angel again. And then the angel comes again and says, Manoah, this is a true fact that your wife will bear a child and he will begin to have dominion over the Philistines. But all of this dominion had a clause. And the Bible would tell us that the angel of the Lord told the mother of Samson that he's not just going to have all of this dominion, all this power, and all this authority. There's a clause he has to follow. And this clause is the Nazirite vow. You can't have dominion unless you're obedient. You can't have authority unless you're under authority. You can't be successful if you're not surrendered under the Word of God. Now, I know some of you were thinking about some great revelatory truth, but there's a disclaimer to having dominion, and that disclaimer is disobedience. And so the angel of the Lord came to the mother and said, there's a clause in here, and it's clearly specified. He can't cut his hair. He can't touch any dead thing. And he can't drink anything of the vine. So he has a physical representation, and there's an internal representation of his commitment to dominion. Now here today, we have some commitments in Scripture. The Bible says there's a certain way we ought to dress. There's a certain way we ought to conduct ourselves. And the Bible says that in Acts chapter 1 and 8 that you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you will be witnesses throughout all the earth. So that lets me know if you want dominion, if you want power, if you want authority, then you have to have the gift of the Holy Ghost. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. You just can't do it through your flesh. You can't do it through your abilities. You can't do it through your talents. You can't do it through your giftings. You have to have the glory of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't want to preach in my flesh. I don't want to have a prayer meeting in my flesh. I don't want to have a praise team praising in my flesh. I want a move of the Spirit of God. All of this is in vain if we don't have the glory of God.
All of this is just sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal if we don't have the glory of the Lord. And the condition of Samson having the power and dominion and authority was that he was a Nazarite from his birth. He had destiny written all over his life. He had dominion written all over his life. And we find that in Judges chapter 13. And as I look at this church, we are a people that are drenched in potential, in power, in dominion and authority. We are a church that God has called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We are a church that's supposed to be on the top of the hill, shining bright for the world to see the glory of the Lord. And all of us here today, what I felt in the Holy Ghost, we are living so below the call of God in this church. Some of you are dealing with wounds in your life that have been self-inflicted. Some of you are living so below the victory God has called you to because you can't get over that addiction. You can't get over that relationship. You can't get over that website. You can't get over going that place and watching that thing and entertaining that. You can't get over it. And God's called you today. If you would just come out, I'll show you dominion and power and authority and glory. Can I just say this? His strength was dependent upon his separation. His strength was dependent upon his separation. The condition of God's Spirit moving on Samson was based upon his consecration. We find that in Judges chapter 13. And there's a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9 that says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people." We're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to blend into society. We're not supposed to look like the world. We're not supposed to dress like the world. We're not supposed to cuss and drink like the world does. We're called to come out and be different from the world. Now, I just feel this is so far out of my sermon. I'm so uncomfortable here today. I wish you could feel what I feel. I'm so uncomfortable preaching this message. But what I feel here today is that the world has convinced us it doesn't really take all of that to have dominion. What the world would convince the church is that you could miss a Wednesday night service to make more money and that wouldn't affect you. The world would convince you that you could miss a Sunday morning service just to make a little bit more money, and that's not going to have an impact on your spiritual well-being. The world has begun to try to manipulate you and control you and tell you, you don't have to show up for prayer meeting on a Saturday night for the first Saturday of prayer. The world has tried to persuade you that you don't have to live a holy, consecrated, dedicated life. You can live how you want to live. You can watch what you want to watch. You can be what you want to be. But that's not what the Bible says.
Judges chapter 13, we find there's destiny on the life of Samson. He's destined. He's called to have dominion. Great things are in store for Samson. What a great and mighty man of God. Man, he has dominion dripping off of him. Judges 14 and 1. Samson went down to Timnath, saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines, and came up and told his father and his mother and said, "I have seen a woman, my, in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife." Man, he's got dominion dripping off of him. He's got authority and a call on his life. But yet his eyes start to wonder at the enemy and saying, "I just want a little bit of that." Now, I've just come to bring a huge caution. If my background could have been a caution sign, that would have been amazing. I've come to put up a huge warning sign to some of you here today that you have been called, you have been chosen.
and you're playing games with the enemy. That's all I've come to say. You have destiny dripping. You have destiny dripping off of your life, and you're entertaining that relationship like it's no big deal. I feel such a burden in the Holy Ghost today. I don't know if I'm preaching to a bunch of people or if there's just one person here today that I'm speaking to, but I feel a burden from heaven to come and warn somebody that you are tiptoeing over to the side of the enemy and you will be defeated. You will be defeated if you play with them long enough. If you stand there and say, it's not going to affect me like it did Samson, I'll be the oddball out. I'll get away with this. I've come to hold up a warning sign from heaven and tell you, turn away. Don't entertain it. Turn around. Don't go through with it. It's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late. Turn around, turn back, turn away. Man, I could preach this message. You could say, Damien, you are so holier than thou, and you can come tell us you got to live better. You got to come out from that. Man, and as I was studying for this message, man, a story. I remember when I was younger, I was probably 15 years old, and that seems like a long time ago. I was 15 years old, and we were going through some of the bookshelves of my parents, and my parents liked to collect things, and there was a bunch of books in there, and man, I pulled out this book, and it said prayer journal. Man, I was like, okay, I got to get some dirt on one of my siblings here. I got to find out what my parents have been praying for so-and-so about. Can use this as ammunition against them. So I pull out the prayer journal. I open up about midway through the book, and I see my name. I said, oh, God. I thought I was the chosen one. Thought I'd been called. I'm reading through this, and it was from my mom. And she simply put, it wasn't exactly, I can't remember the word for word, but basically it was like, Lord, wake him up. Stir him. Help him to realize that he has so much more in store for him. And that, I remember the date of that prayer journal, and I remember, man, I was doing some horrible things. I was involved in some things I should not have. I was hanging out with the wrong people at the wrong time. And I remember, man, that was a wake-up call. My mom was praying for me. My mom was fasting for me. She was like, Lord, wake him up. You see the potential and the authority, the power that's dripping all over his life. Just wake him up to see what you want to do in his life. And as I was reading that, I began to cry and say, Lord, I want to have the same wake-up call to somebody here today, just to wake you up and say, you are living so below the calling God has on your life. You're living so below the authority God wants to have you walk in. You're living so below the dominion God has destined for your life, but it takes you making up your mind and say, I'm destined for greater. I'm more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in me. I'm not going to entertain it anymore. I'm not going to play games and patty cake with the devil. I'm tired of going through the motions. I wish I had somebody to just make up your mind. I'm done playing games with the devil. Can I just tell you that souls are hanging upon you and your response? That I'm here to tell you in this in the Holy Ghost, that salvation is in our hands for this city. The dominion and the power that God wants to flow through is in this sanctuary right now. But you have to be obedient to the word of the Lord. You can be seated here today. Samson said, man, I have dominion. I have authority and power. I'm going to go play with the enemy. Says, mom and dad, you know, I know you thought I was going to be this great man, but can you go get me that Philistine woman? Man, she looks so great. She looks so fine. And so parents are like, isn't there anybody of the Israelites that you want to pick from, the chosen people of God?
Samson, so deliberate, so determined, he said, no, I'm going to go for the Philistine woman. And then we find as they go down to Timnath, the Bible says that he has an encounter with a lion. Now, the location of this encounter was in a vineyard, which was where grapes were grown. And all of a sudden, we find the whole life of Samson is a continual getting closer and closer to compromise. He's in a place he know he shouldn't be, and there's a lion coming to him. The Bible says he takes that lion and rips him to shreds. And he just goes about his day like nothing happened. And he goes and he meets with this woman of the Philistines. After meeting with her, the Bible says he makes a trip back to his father's house. And he stumbles upon the location where he slew that lion. The Bible tells us that there is a beehive that's found in the mouth of the lion. Now, I want you to notice this. There's a dead carcass, and there's honey in the dead carcass. Now, the vow was he shouldn't touch any deadly thing. But he justified touching the dead thing because there was some sweetness in it. Now, a lot of you are going to justify being places you shouldn't be, touching things you shouldn't touch, because you say, it's just a little honey. Some of you are going to justify saying, man, I'm going to make more money so I can give more an offering, so I'll miss a service time. And some of you will justify being in an ungodly relationship because they said in one text message, I might try God out eventually. Some of you are going to justify it being involved in a dead situation because there's honey, there's some sweetness, and you want to taste some sweetness. Can I just tell you, that's a lie of the devil. He wants to make you believe that you can extract some sweetness out of a dead thing. What I'm here to tell you is, don't even touch the dead thing. Get your hands off the dead thing. Don't even entertain the dead thing. Don't even look at the dead thing. Don't try to justify it. Don't try to reason it out. Just get your hands off the dead thing. Can I just tell you this? Because the dead thing will end up being your demise. The dead thing will end up destroying you if you're not careful. You can be seated here today. I've just come through this story to throw up caution sign after caution sign here this morning. What I feel here today, more than anything, this is Youth Week, so what I felt in prayer is that there is a young person here today that is ignoring all the red flags that God is putting in front of your face. There's only so far you can run through red flags until you hit a dead end. There's only so many times God's going to give you warning after warning, caution after caution, until eventually he says, you're on your own. You're up to your own fate. You made the bed that you have to sleep in now. Can I just tell you, it's not too late for somebody here today. Today is the day where you can say, I'm not going to touch that again. I'm not going to entertain that again. I'm not going to go to that place. In the name of Jesus, we find throughout this story where in Judges chapter 14, we have the encounter of the lion. He extracts just a little bit of honey. It tastes good. It's not going to hurt me. It's just a little bit of honey. And then eventually, the date has been set for the wedding of the Philistine woman and Samson. And there's a big wedding celebration. Samson throws this great feast, and there's 30 companions of the Philistines that come and are just so excited. Man, he's one of us now. We're excited for this guy. And Samson says, man, I'm going to throw you guys a riddle. And the winner has to give, the loser has to give the winner 30 changes of garments. The Philistine's like, lay it on us. Man, we're smart. We got this. And Samson says, all right, here is the riddle. Here is the riddle for you today. Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. The Bible says that these 30 companions, man, they were exhausted. They were thinking with all their brain power, man, there's got to be an answer to this riddle. This guy's surely not smarter. He's playing games with the Philistines. Are you serious? He's surely not smarter than us. The Philistines, for 3 days, they said they couldn't solve this riddle till finally they come to the wife of Samson, and they said, if you don't tell us the answer to this riddle, we're going to burn you and your family and all of everything that you own to the ground. And this wife says, all right, I'm going to get you the answer. The Bible says that she began to nag Samson. She began to press in on him and said, tell me the answer to this riddle. Tell me the answer. And Samson said, I haven't even told my parents. Why would I tell you? And then eventually he gives in and gives the answer to this riddle. And then the Philistines come to Samson, and they're so excited. They're so enthralled. And, they're excited to give the answer to this riddle. They said, man, we've got the answer. And Samson said, all right, lay it on me. And he said, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Samson said, why did you plow with my heifer? That's some King James version for you. Why did you plow for my heifer to get the answer to this riddle? Man, if we talk like that today, we would have some black eyes. Some of us men would have some, whew, Jesus. Why'd you plow with my heifer? And Samson was so angry and so mad. But here's what the enemy did. They pressed the weak spot of Samson. They leaned in upon that weak spot where he had a weakness for the Philistine women. Can I just tell you, you can't play games with the devil and expect to come out on top. You can't sit around and play riddles with them when they know what you did last night. They know what you entertained last night. They know where you were this past week. They know the commitments you made to some relationships you shouldn't be involved in. Man, I know God's helping me. If you're not going to help me here today, I'm here to tell you it's time to stop playing games with the devil. Come on, some of you are just sitting back and you're talking to the devil like he's your best friend and you're playing games, you're playing tic-tac-toe, and I'm here to tell you his mission is to kill, to destroy, and to annihilate you. I'm here to throw up a caution sign from heaven. Stop playing games with the devil. Stop playing games with the devil. I can look back over my life and say, man, my mom was doing me so many favors. Man, I'm up here preaching today. Some of you, if I would have told you that story, you thought, man, Damien's never done a bad thing in all of his life. He's walking on water Monday through Saturday. I'm here to tell you, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have weaknesses. All of us have moments where the devil can slide in and begin to work on you and begin to affect your mind and affect your heart. But I'm here to tell you today that the Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What you have to do is hold up the Word of God and say, I'm going to see through the eyes of the Word of God. I'm not going to look through the lies of the devil. I'm not going to look at the devil. I'm going to keep my eyes fastened on the Word of God. We find in the story that there's a riddle that goes forth, and the Bible says that Samson's so mad he goes to his parents' house. In the process of time, the Philistine's father gives the bride to his best man. How would you like that to be done for you? And then Samson comes back some time later. He sees what has been done. He's so angered, so mad, so frustrated. The Bible says, this is very interesting, that he goes out and he catches 300 foxes. Now, that's some determination. That's some anger. You've got, I don't know how, that probably wasn't 5 minutes. That probably wasn't an hour to catch 300. Some of you, it takes 2 years to shoot a deer. Can you imagine? Can you imagine 300 foxes?
That's some anger that he has built up inside of him. Now, as I was reading this today, and I could glance over that, but I want to dive into that because it's interesting. If he would have channeled that frustration, if he would have channeled that anger, what great things he could have accomplished for the kingdom of God. Some of you are so self-absorbed, trying to please yourself, trying to go after your own selfish ambitions, that if you would just say, I'm done playing games, I'm going to do a work for Jesus Christ. Why don't you channel that energy and say, I'm going to pray like I've never prayed? Why don't you channel that frustration and put a fight in your spirit? Why don't you get angry at the devil and say, I'm tired of what you've been doing. I'm tired of the souls that you've caused havoc. I'm ready to fight the good fight of faith. Some of you ought to get a fight back in your spirit and say, I'm done playing games. I'm done trying to fulfill my own ambitions. What I felt this morning, man, I didn't sleep at all last night, so I'm going to take a really good nap this afternoon. I believe the Lord was just leaning in on me today and saying, tell the people to caution themselves, to be aware that there's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Don't think you can outsmart the devil. He's been doing this long before you were here. Don't think that you can have a strength that can overcome him in your own ability, in your own gifting, and in your own power. The only way you can overcome the devil is by the Spirit of the Lord. You ought to make sure I'm going to link up with the Lord and have dominion. I'm going to have authority in the name of Jesus. Man, I wish with everything inside me, Pastor, I could have stood up here and said, we're destined for dominion in 2026. We're going to see things like we've never seen. We're going to do things like we've never done. And I felt a check from the Lord to tell you that all of that is going to happen, but it's conditioned on your obedience to the Word of God. Man, we are promised to be the head and not the tail. We are promised to be above and not beneath. We're promised to go out. We're going to be blessed when we go out and blessed when we come in. Blessed when we sit down and blessed when we rise up. But it's all conditioned if we observe to do according to the word of the Lord. You can be seated. I wonder if the media team could do Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. The only time in Scripture where the words good success are found is in this verse, and I want you to notice what it is related to. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Day and night, that thou mightest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Can I just tell you the opposite of success is, some of you are still awake, the opposite of success is failure. That tells me that if you want to be a success, you have to obey the word. If you want to be a failure, disobey the word. You have to make up your mind, I'm going to be a success for the kingdom of God. I don't care what comes my way, I'm going to plant my feet on the word of God and proclaim the promises of the word. I made up my mind day in and day out. I'm going to obey the word night and day, day and night. I'm going to observe the word of God. You can be seated here today.
The Bible in Genesis chapter 3 would tell us the very first lie or the very first question that was recorded in your Bible was concerning the Word of God. The Bible says Adam and Eve were in the garden, and all of a sudden the serpent comes to Eve and says, has God really said not to touch the fruit? Are you serious? You can do all these things, but you can't touch this tree? This one tree is separated. It's secluded. You can't touch the tree. You're telling me God really said that? And the Bible tells us that once Eve put a question mark there, she begins to look at the tree a little bit different. She looks at it and says, man, it's pleasing to the eyes. It's a tree desired to make one wise. And there's nothing really inherently wrong with this tree. And then the Bible says she took of the fruit. It all starts with how you view the Word of God. Now, Samson's view of the Word of God was, oh, it was given to my parents to give to me. They're kind of the middleman. I guess it really doesn't apply. I guess I don't really have to follow the Word of God. It's not really valued in my life. And that was the perception of the Word of Samson's life. He said, man, I can slip away just a little bit. I could play games and I can do things that everybody else does. It won't affect me. In Judges 15, we find the story where he catches those 300 foxes. He's so mad, so angry. Judges chapter 16, we see he's still pursuing women. And he was really girl crazy. Judges chapter 16, it says, then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. And it was told the Gezite, saying, Samson has come hither. No wonder. And they compassed him in and said, lay wait for him and be quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Now, can I just tell you that Samson was using his gifting, his ability, to fulfill his own desires. And he was not willing to stand out, but he wanted to blend in. That was the whole life of Samson. His whole life was, just let me be normal. Just let me be normal. We find the culmination of Samson's life in the following verse. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was, you know the name, Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth and by what means we may prevail against him that we may bind him to afflict him and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. She was in this relationship because of what she could get out of it for profitable gain. Not because she loved him, but what she could get out of it. The Bible says that she would go on and begin to lean in on Samson and begin to pester him. And, man, she does what any woman can do. She begins to nag Samson. Samson does what any man really does a good job at. He begins to lie to her. And there's a nagging, there's a lying, there's a nagging, there's a lying. And it's back and forth, a tug of war. There's nagging and lying back and forth. And till eventually, Samson says, you weary me to the point of death. Who knew a woman could nag you like that? You weary me to the point of dying. I'm tired of your nagging. Finally, he says, if you just cut the locks of my hair. Now, all throughout the story, he's in the vineyard, he's touching dead things, and now he's come to the last place of commitment. And it's an outward sign. You can see it now. it's come to fruition. It's come to the very forefront. It was all deep down in his heart, but out of the abundance of the heart, we see the desires are reflected, and you can see him now. The hair begins to become cut off, and all of a sudden the Bible says he wakes out of a sleep, and the Bible says he shook himself like as other times, and he did not realize the Spirit of God had departed from him. What a scary place to be where you can't feel the presence of God like you used to feel him. You can't touch him like you used to touch him. Tears don't fall like they used to fall. You don't feel the glory like you used to feel the glory. There's a place as you walk on the line of trying to blend into the world till all of a sudden you can't feel the presence of God like you used to. And all of a sudden you begin to blend in, and now you can't feel the glory of God in a church service. That's why I feel this here today, and I'm just going to preach what I feel. Some of you couldn't get up here and dance. Some of you couldn't worship like you really know you should be worshiping here today. Today, because you're still holding on to some things in your life. Now, I'm here to tell you, when the praise team was up here and they were giving it all they got, some of us were just staring at them. Hopefully this is okay, Pastor. I might get fired after this, but some of us were just staring at them like it's a show. And the problem is, we're being lulled to sleep by the enemy. It's comforting us, and it's sitting us down and saying, you don't have to pray, you don't have to worship, you don't have to consecrate, you don't have to dedicate, just sit down, take it easy, just sit back. Some of you are just satisfied sitting back in the lap of the enemy. Some of you are so comfortable with playing games with the devil. Here today, I believe that the spiritual climate of this church could move so far beyond anything if we would just make up our mind. We're not going to lay down. We're not going to sit comfortable. We're not going to play games. We're not going to back down. We're not going to give up. We're going to stand up, and we're going to fight. We're going to go all in. We're going to give everything we've got. I'm here to tell you. Make up your mind. I'm gonna fight. I'm gonna fight. Some of you have been laying down for so long, you won't even stand up in a church service. I'm here to tell you, as an act of defiance, you ought to stand up from where you are and say, I'm determined to do a work for God. The enemy is having so much fun beating you up and punching you and giving you a gut punch, and you've just been happy getting punch after punch, blow after blow. But I'm here to tell you, that's not what God has destined for your life. He's called you to be victorious. He's called you to have dominion. Come on, that's it. There ought to be a war cry in this house that shakes the gates of hell. I'm here to tell you, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. Yeah.
It's time for some of you to get a prayer life for yourself. It's time for some of you, I know it's been a long time, but shake the dust off your Bible and start proclaiming the Word of God. It's time for some of you to say, I'm going to be at church on time. It's time for some of you, I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to preach. I'm going to reach. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. In this story of Samson, we find the demise of Samson. We find him entertaining the enemy. He's gotten to the point where he's just entertainment to the enemy. Look what he can do. Man, he can grind. And man, look at that. He used to be our adversary. Now he's working for us, and we don't have to pay him anything. Look at him go. He's doing great for us. Till finally they bring him in and say, we're just going to make him a public spectacle. And Samson walks into this grand auditorium. He can't see because his vision is gone. That's what the enemy wants to do. It wants to take your vision. Till all you see is problems and you're in a deep place, you're in discouragement, and you're like, how am I going to get out of this? And it looks hopeless and devastation is everywhere. How can I get out of this impossible situation? And Samson walks into this grand auditorium and he says, boy, why don't you lead me to the pillars? I want you to lead me to the pillars that the whole house is established upon. And the lad leads him to the pillars. And the Bible says he puts his right hand on the pillar and his left hand on the other pillar. And he said, Lord, I need you one last time. I know I made a wreck of everything. I know I was destined for dominion. But here I am, just a worker for the enemy. One last time, give me strength to overcome them. The Bible says one last time, with everything within him, he bowed himself and the walls came tumbling down. And the Bible said he killed more at his death than he did his entire life. That lets me know one thing. Here today, you may look at your life and say, it's a dead end. I've done so many devastating things. I've made havoc out of my life. I was supposed to be this, and now I'm this. I was destined for this, and now I'm living below that. But here today, if you just make a prayer that says, Lord, I'm sorry for everything that I've done. I'm sorry for playing games. I'm so sorry for living below what you've called me to do. Here today, God wants to flood this house with fresh fire, with fresh dominion, with fresh glory. But you ought to lift your voice and say, God, help me to walk right. Help me to live right. Help me to obey your word. What I feel for this church, Pastor, we're going to see the greatest year that this church has ever experienced. And it's going to come through the people that say, I'm tired of playing games. I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of going through the motions. And I'm going to step out and be who God has called me to be. What I feel for the very close of this youth week is there has to be a moment of consecration. Man, we could end on a high note. We could run the aisles. We could dance. We could shout. But what I feel here today is God's trying to put a mirror up to somebody's life and show you some weak places that the devil is trying to use to destroy you. And I'm here to tell you it's not too late. If you would just hear the call of heaven and say, God, I'm going to let go of this. I'm going to take that off. I'm going to add this here. And you make some adjustments to be in alignment with your assignment. You have to be obedient to the word of God. The Bible says, repent. That is literally a turning away. That's you separating yourself and saying, God, I'm not going to do what I've always done. Here today, what I feel is as a congregation, every hand raised, every eye closed, and there has to be a moment of repentance in this house. God, this coming week, I'm not going to go to the places that I've always been. Starting today, God, I'm not going to entertain the things I know are not right. Starting right now, I'm changed. I'm delivered. I have authority. By the power of the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody lift your voice and cry out to God.